Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. I hope you're doing well today, that you're abiding in the Lord, abiding in Christ who dwells in you. You are a temple of the living God. And Jesus, it's so amazing the different ways God could have saved us, the way he chose to save us in his Son, becoming one of us. And what is so amazing, it's so overwhelming, and its reality is what God wants, the creator of the universe wants, is not just to sort of clean us up and get us rightly aligned. He wants relationship with us. God wants us to be in relationship with him. That is just an astounding reality. That's a mystery. We don't know why, but it's who he is. And we think about how much relationships mean for us in this life. Friendships, marriage. I mean, look at all the programs, every movie, everything. It's just talking about the, you know, finding the right person, and how often men and women just dream of finding the right person and dream of that profound love. And there's just this constant longing in our hearts to be understood, to be united with another, to be able to just give ourselves totally to somebody in friendship, in the heart, in a way that both satisfies the longing in our own heart and others. And of course, that can't fully happen in this world, but it's in us so deep. And so where did that come from? What's that all about? It's because we image God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a communion of persons. There's relationship. That's another just an amazing thing to try to wrap our minds around, that the ground of all reality, of all being and everything that's come to be, is just come out of, is a sign of, is an expression of what's at the core of all reality, which is God himself, and God himself is three persons, of total self-donating love. Wow. It's amazing. And so what we've been talking about in the first 2 days this week, and as I've been praying about the week and leading up to it, is I just felt like the Lord say, help my people, me and me too, all of us, to be confident in what God has given to us. The saints, St. Paul and others, and the saints use this terminology, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. You know, I have confidence before the Father, Paul says, in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident, I'm secure, I'm able to just receive that love. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm living in a level of freedom. It's growing each day. Even if I stumble, I get up, my Lord forgives me, and go to confession, receive the grace of the sacraments, just live with Jesus and live with his people the best we can, even among the disappointments where people fail us. We fail people, you know, where hardship, sickness, pain, all kinds of things come to us in this life. It's possible. In fact, we're invited to by God himself to begin to enter into the reality already in this life of what is given to us as a promise for eternal life. And the knowledge of God, relationship with God, intimacy with God. It's possible. It's possible because it's what God wants. And Jesus said so clearly to us, we've talked about over the last month or so, the reality of Jesus' invitation to say, abide in me. Come draw near to me. Learn from me. I'm meek. My strength is under control. I'm not full of rage. I'm not full of, you know, disordered, uncontrolled anger. I'm not after revenge, nothing, nothing like that at all. My strength is at the service of love, and I love you. That's why I laid down my life for you, my friend. Come and abide in me. Come talk to me. Come live in me. Come receive the promises that I've given to you, and follow me now, because I have a mission for you in this world, and I'll never leave you, and you'll be able to accomplish everything that I call you to, even if it looks so much bigger than you. Trust in me, be with me. So the apostles are always challenging us to fight for that, to do our part, Say, how much do I really want this in my life? How much of my energy and my heart and my focus, my time, my treasure, am I willing to direct toward living in and expressing and walking out the reality of what God has given to me in Jesus? It's just so beautiful. It's so overwhelming. And so we've been talking about that and the need to have confidence in it, because I think it doesn't take much to have that confidence be taken away and stolen. You know, a little tweak, a little circumstance that comes up that we didn't expect, that troubles us, that shakes us, and the big stuff that's going on around us too. It can easily steal it because we let it go. We don't fight for it. As a friend of mine said, contend for it. We don't battle, as Paul and Peter are saying, don't fall back in your former ignorance. You know, that is a state of mind and life, living as if God didn't exist, or living as if he did exist, but somehow he's distant from you. And the distance he has is in part because he's not happy with you. And his attitude toward you is not positive. And so we live in all that stuff. And when we think that way, or we're living out of a mindset about ourselves, we might even have an awareness, yes, God's done all this wonderful stuff for me, but I'm not a good person. Or I'm just trapped and I'll never get out of this. And you start to think negative thoughts, or you think negative, you're going to live negative. You think dirty, you're going to live dirty. If you think, I mean, it's just the way it is. And this is why Paul is saying, set your mind. So we're in Colossians chapter 3, where we ended yesterday. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things of earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now that's verse 2 and 3 of Colossians chapter 3. And we could probably spend the next year in just penetrating and grasping, getting help from the Holy Spirit and from good study and good commentary and other things, just to wrap our minds around, and then hopefully wrap our hearts around, that you have died and your life is now hidden. Okay, there's two realities that Paul's talking about. Where did you die? Where did I die? We died in baptism. Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about it very clearly. The church teaches it so well. So the old man that's under sin, that's under the dominion of darkness, and really does stand accused and is guilty of sin that leads to death, living in a hopeless situation, that man, that child was put to death in baptism, and the sin we inherited, the original sin, that is that original broken relationship with God, which will, without grace, will, as we grow, will manifest itself in resistance to God, rejection of God, alienation from God, all kinds of ways that that gets expressed. But through the grace of baptism, that nature, that sin nature, that broken relationship with God is healed. And it's healed because in baptism, we're united to the death of Jesus, the cross of Christ. Why and how? Well, we're united to the cross of Christ because it's at the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. It's that act of love by which we've been saved. It's the offering of his life and the shedding of his pure and precious blood that Scripture says makes us clean. He becomes sin for us. And Peter says he ransomed us. He paid for it. He drew us out of the condition of slavery that we were in. And he did that through washing us clean with his precious blood. And it's very personal. It's very real. It's not like just this broad generic thing. When you were baptized, the king was there and he cleansed you. And then he breathed into you the Holy Spirit. And you came out of that water a new creation. That's what Paul's referring to here. You have died. Now the drives, for example, you've died to living under the fear of death. That's what the world is living in. That's a lot of what we're seeing around, the chaos and the confusion. A lot of it goes back to living under the dominion of darkness and the fear of death. And people, even though they might be asserting themselves, thinking they're free, they're actually slaves because they're acting against their own good and the good of others, and they're acting in a way that offends God, these kinds of things, that's a dimension, that's an expression of the reality of the devil's strategy to enslave human beings through the fear of death. And they're fighting for their own freedom. We're fighting to declare who's put me in this condition and how am I going to get free? And they never quite see it apart, because you can't see it apart from the person of Christ. So he says, Paul says, you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're already united to the person of Jesus, who's perfectly united to the Father. It's hard to wrap our minds around that. It's hard to lift ourselves from the day-to-day and all distractions and the pursuits of this life, to stop long enough to allow the Holy Spirit to help us grasp this treasure that Paul so passionately is communicating to us. You're dead now. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You died, and your life is now in Christ. And you're part of his body, which is his church. And he wants to lead you and lead me to walk in his footsteps, to live the life he's lived. He's given us the power to make that happen, which really is, in a nutshell, as we've talked about, it's living in the first and second commandment, that God is first. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I can't do that on my own resources, and the flesh won't do it. The Holy Spirit, which is God's love poured into our hearts, is what does it. It's our cooperation with that, the work of the Spirit in us, that transforms us into the image of the Son. That's how Maximilian Kolbe got there. That's how Mother Teresa got there. That's how St. Francis of Assisi got there. This reality, which happened to them, they came into on a deeper level as they kept surrendering and seeking and thirsting and hungering. And at a certain point, you could not knock them off the trail. Even though they had moments of temptation, difficulty, and struggled with the world of flesh and the devil, they kept pressing in by God's grace because they had the scent of heaven. They knew what it was all about. They had transformed minds. They kept seeing more and more as they pressed in further and further. And an unshakable confidence began to grow in them in so many ways. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears then, you also shall appear with him in glory. That's what Paul's saying. Take that into your heart. The day's coming when you'll either die and see him, or he'll come while you're still here. In either way, when he comes for you, you shall appear with him in glory before the Father. That is your ultimate destiny. That's what you're living for. And that's what we're saying yes to even in this life. So friends, let's internalize that today. Let's accept it. Let's stand with confidence and great conviction. I want to also encourage you again to go to our new website. I'm excited about it. We've just had it redone. It's beautiful. It's super easy to use. It's user-friendly. It's got a kind of simple beauty about it. And there's a lot there to help you in this journey. God bless you. RenewalMinistries.net. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.